Hello everyone, welcome to Paddle Smash Academy. Today we're here at the PPL and we have Paddle Superstars, podcast, superstar as well, Britt Dubin.
You talked about the amount of power that she's able to possess.
Welcome to the channel once again. Well, tell us all about your experience with the PPL and who you're playing with and all that.
This year has been amazing. Brand new, I feel like, whole experience because the teams are so much stronger. So my partner was is Lucia Sainz, former number one in the world. I mean, currently, I think she's 14 in the world. She's amazing. And just on the court, I love being with her. She's knows exactly what to say. She knows strategy. She knows how to also like keep me calm. You know, I was a little nervous. And also just pump me up at the same time. So that's who my partner is. But we also have on the team Miguel Lamperti, legend.
Yeah.
Maxi Sanchez. I mean.
It doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
So, but let me ask you one thing. Now, you're still wearing the Miami colors, but now you're playing for the West Coast San Diego Stingrays. How does that feel?
So were you heartbroken when you get Miami Paddle again? Or I mean. Because yeah. That's the team you kind of wanted, remember? Yeah. Last time we spoke, right?
Right. You know, I'm from Miami, so I wanted to play for Miami.
Yeah.
But, you know, life happens. Things don't always work out.
Yeah.
And I think the bigger picture is I really wanted to still be a part of the PPL. So the West Coast is still pretty sexy.
right.
I mean, California, we love California, yeah. So
let's talk about your journey. I mean, we interviewed you almost, a year ago, right? So tell us a little bit about, what you've done within that year. I mean, the tournaments and where you train, the
podcast,
coaches.
The podcast.
Yeah, the podcast.
The podcast. Talk about your podcast,
you know,
too.
Talk about your, your reels. I love them. We love to watch them. They're really cool.
Yeah, I feel like you guys were with me in, like, the very beginning, you know? When I was talking to you guys, I was still working in a normal job. And it was sort of like a period in my life where I was going to make a big decision, you know, stop working and really focus on paddle. So I took that risk. And so far it's been working. I started to play full time after the PPL starting in August, my first FIP tournament, and slowly, you know, earning points. Then I started to do a little more with Instagram, you know, create some funny reels.
Yeah. We love it.
Yeah, they're awesome.
We love it.
Thanks. I hire my dad as an actor.
That was superb. He deserves an Oscar or a Grammy for that.
And then was doing a podcast. You guys inspired me.
There you go.
Ben Nichols reached out. Yeah. So the Paddle Movement, we started with a few episodes and it's kind of been, a little bit on the court, you know, with FIP tournaments. I played my first premier event last month, wow. So that was insane.
Oh, you did? You played in Acapulco?
Played in Acapulco.
Wow.
Yep.
Tell us, how was that?
Yeah.
So we played in Acapulco. It was my first time ever. We were in the qualifying, and we had a tough draw. We played the number two seeds in the first round, and we lost in three sets.
Who were the number two seeds?
Carmen Castellón and Raquel Fletcher.
Okay.
Brazilian girl, very, very good girls. It was a tough match, tough conditions because we played like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, super hot. It like prepared us for this because Miami is hot too.
Right.
And it was good because, you know, then I trained that week and was able to get ready for Venezuela, which was the week after.
So oh, you did Venezuela too?
Did Venezuela too.
Wow.
Played in the qualifying. This time we won the qualifying. So now I played in my first ever main draw of a premier with my partner, Aitana Garcia. Very thankful for her for choosing me to play with her. And we were playing the first round. We were up a set and it was 5-4. And my partner.
It's 5-4, opposite 5-4 serving?
Down 5-4, but okay. Serving.
Okay.
And my partner, she was feeling sick throughout the entire second set. And at 5-4, she said, I'm done. I can't. She was throwing up, feeling dizzy, nauseous. So it was a shame because we were playing really well. It would have been, you know, a dream come true to win the first round.
So what happened? She just had a virus or sick or something?
I don't know if you know. Well, yeah, a lot of players in the Venezuela tournament had to retire.
Yeah, they said like 40 players. Is that true?
It's something.
Some crazy number. Yeah.
Somebody brought in their virus and got everybody.
No, I think it was food, poisoning or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that. I don't know if it was those crazy hot conditions, a mixture of both. But we couldn't finish the match. So, but overall, it was an amazing experience.
And you didn't get sick, though, right?
Yeah, I'm a warrior.
All right. So how do you manage all of that? I mean, you play paddle. You're doing the podcast, you're doing all this social media stuff. How do you manage all that? And what do you like the best?
So I think, a little time management, being organized and, knowing just to do your best. You're not going to be amazing at everything, but just do my best.
And I heard that you have a great team right behind you doing all the work.
Who's
that person?
Yeah.
You got to give him some credit.
Give some credit to that person.
My social media manager.
What's his name?
His name is Juan Agudo.
Juan Agudo. Wow.
Yeah. He's a boss. He comes up with all the fun ideas. Great editor. So shout out to him.
Good. You guys make a good team there.
You guys make a great team there.
Yeah. Congrats. Really thankful.
Yes. So now that you started to play professional, how difficult and how expensive it is, and how does that work? Tell us a little bit of the financial part of becoming a professional paddle.
Yeah, it's expensive, traveling to Venezuela. I'm based in Madrid, so going to Acapulco, a lot of the FIP tournaments are in other countries in Europe, played in Sweden. There's another Gira in May that's going to be in South America. So it can get expensive with flights, with food, with hotel.
Oh yeah.
So do you get paid to win the qualifying rounds or the premier? How's that work now? What is the prize money and all that?
So yeah, I'll give you an example. Right now my points are relatively low. So I have about 65 points and I'm currently ranked 143. Which I'm very happy about.
Good.
It's happened since August.
Since last year. So last year in 2020.
Last year I was zero.
Okay. You just first started. Okay, great. Now, did you reach your goal, or?
Not yet. My goal, I would say, is to be top 100. That would be really exciting for me. But, I'm on the right track. It doesn't happen overnight. So I'm playing FIP tournaments. And let's say a FIP Rise tournament. Which is the most common one that they have. So in terms of prize money, the winners of the tournament usually get, I think, between 600 and 800 euros, the winners.
Right.
So that's divided in two?
No, that's per
person.
Player.
So it's 1,200?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for the premier, for losing in the first round in Venezuela, it's about 600.
For losing in the first round. Per player.
Okay. The winner of Premier, I think it's around maybe 11,000 or something like that, depending on whether it's P1, P2, or a major. I'd have to look at it. But there's obviously much more money in Premier than the FIP tournaments.
Right.
But, you have to play FIP tournaments to earn points in order to qualify for Premier. So the draws for the P1 and P2 are relatively small for the qualifying for girls. Only 16 teams make it into the qualifying. And I think it's about 23 teams into the main draw with four qualifiers and a couple of wild cards, or maybe one wild card. So it's not really a lot of teams in the Premier level. So to give you an idea, the last person who gets in the qualifying, you add up the two teams' points. So if I'm playing with you, we add up our points.
Okay.
The total should be around 800.
Okay.
800 points, and then you'll be the last team that gets into a qualifying for a premier. Right now I have 65 points.
Wow.
So you can see my partner either has to have 800 points.
Right.
Or we have to look for a wild card, or we have to still play FIPS in order to eventually be able to get into all premier events.
Wow. So it's still very difficult to really make it.
Yeah.
So now let's talk. I know you have a brand new sponsor.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, which I think it's been a huge help for you, right?
100%. I mean, Original Penguin.
Yeah.
We love their clothes.
Yeah.
And I think I'm the only one, on the paddle tour who has Penguin.
How did that happen? Because Penguin's in tennis, but I didn't see them really get into the paddle? Is this their first venture?
Definitely, it's one of their first ventures. They're always in tennis and golf. And, you know, paddle's been getting so big that I think we wanted to create a partnership.
Okay, so how did that happen? Did they call you, you reach out to them? Or how did that work?
Well, my dad teaches tennis to Oscar.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So
who's Oscar?
Oscar is the CEO of Original Paint.
Oh, there you go.
So Ross Stevens, my dad slash manager, based on conversations with him, and it seemed like a project that they were interested in. So Miami Girl, Original Penguin has their big office here in Miami. So it kind of just made sense.
Perfect match.
So what do they do? Do they help you with clothing? You know, help you a little with traveling? Is that what they do?
Right. All my gear and a little financial help as well.
Oh, that's great.
So really excited. We love them. This is part of their new collection.
I love it. You
cool.
look great.
Yeah.
First of all, you said you're playing with your partner now. How does that process work? I mean, who calls who? You call your partner that you want to play with her, or how does that process works in the professional level?
Right now, I don't have like a set partner.
Okay.
So because of the points, you kind of want to like date around and see who.
It's just a good, what do you call it? You know,
who
they say it.
Who you'll match with for tournaments based on who signs up. You'll add up the points, see if we'll get in. And also, I think it's good to, you know, not only settle for one person in the beginning until you guys both decide to create like a project together and do it more long term. But right now, just because of the points and the position I'm in, I don't have a full-time partner. So I'll message girls on Instagram. Sometimes I'll get messages and
it's sort of like paddle at the level that you're at is sort of like an open relationship.
Definitely.
Sounds like a new app needs to be made.
Yes, yeah, sort of like the Tinder for paddle, professional paddle players.
That would be awesome. There would be
an app. Hey, I'm on it.
Yeah, like looking for a partner, 100%.
So, but at a higher level, it's more permanent or they don't split as much, right?
Yeah, I think it's like the top 20, 30 girls, they're usually playing with the same partner. Or if they switch, they're switching, okay, I'm ranked 30, I'll play with the girl that's ranked 28.
Yeah.
It's not like they're switching for a girl that's ranked 140.
Right.
Yeah.
You
don't see that every day.
So how do you determine when you don't have a good partner? This partner's like, okay, this is not gonna work. Is there many different attributes to that?
I feel like at this point, I'm thankful for every partner I've had, even if maybe they haven't been as strong as I wanted. I think it's also helped me bring my game out, you know, I have to make up for my partner. So it's sort of like a learning process and then just a conversation and say, okay, maybe next tournament I'm going to try with somebody else.
So is it just strength or is it personality? Is it if they're higher ranked and you're higher ranked, are those factors involved when you decide, okay, I'm going to play with that person?
Yeah, I mean, the things I look for in a partner, I definitely like a drive partner because I like to play backhand side. So that would be like the number one thing I look for.
Wow.
I guess another thing is like, the way they are on the court. Like I'm pretty fiery. I get pumped up. So I would like someone who also has a little bit of
energy. Yeah, we love that. We love to see that.
Yeah.
From me, you know.
And if not, it's okay. I'll bring it.
So tell us this week that who did you play with at the PPL and how was it? Well, how many matches you play?
So I played 4 matches. We started off very strong.
We'll talk about that.
Okay, so I played with Lucia Sainz.
Okay.
And we played against the Flow Rider Goats.
Whoopa.
Which is Mapi and Sasu.
That's a strong team.
It's a great
very
match. I saw that. It was awesome.
And also, those girls are Knox, part of the Knox family.
Yeah.
And it was honestly the best win of my career.
Wow.
So, I mean, top 20 team.
Right.
And we won in the 10-point tiebreaker for the third set.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
That was
winning
awesome.
As underdogs and look at them, you know?
Big time underdogs. I think no one expected it.
So how many portresses did you make in that match? Because you know that's your favorite shot.
That's my favorite shot. Yeah. A lot. It was unbelievable. And we ended up beating them as a team, you know? So we won 3-0. The guys won in the mix.
What other match did you play?
Well, we played Miami.
Okay.
They only had the number one player in the world.
Yeah, Adi Sanchez
and Marta Talavan.
Yeah.
Both very solid girls. Marta, I know her from Madrid because last year when I played in the Madrid Federation, we played in the semifinals of the Madrid final tournament. So that was exciting, you know. I've never played against the number one in, well, I guess I did in the World Championship. I played against Gemma, but I don't know. It was insane. And I think we were really competitive. Like, we lost 6-3, 6-3, and it was really good points. You know, this has just been a crazy experience, you know.
Good crazy.
And, you know, it was fun.
This question I ask all the professional players. So when you play with these top players, the Gemmas and the Adi Sanchez and all that, what do they have that you don't have or you need to come up to that level? What is it? There is an extra thing they have, right?
First thing I would say is experience, because those girls are playing against top 20 girls year-round, which is something that I'm not. Right now in the FIP tournaments, we don't see top 20, top 50 girls, maybe occasionally someone 60, 80. So that's one thing.
Well, you just started last year as a professional.
Yes.
In 1 year.
Yeah. So I think that would be a huge one.
Yeah.
And then I think their level of unforced errors is very low. And there's just certain shots, like Ari Sanchez has, to me, one of the best forehand volleys. Inside in, that just, she like knifes it very, very nice. And then we played against the LA Beat. So we played against Carolina Orsi and Jessica Castello, number 9 and top 25 in the world, I think. Yeah. And it's also a lefty girl playing against a top 20 lefty girl is something I'm not used to. It's like a different spin. All of a sudden, the bandeja goes the other direction, and I'm like, oh my God.
And you're at the other direction.
Yeah, I'm just like, Lucia, yours, but...
Maybe mine, I don't know.
So, yeah, I think practicing at that level is what I would like to do over the next year.
Do you feel the speed is different or not? Do you play at a higher speed or...
I mean, so that's a good question. Like, I feel like I'm pretty aggressive on my overhead, but maybe sometimes in my volleys, I'm only making it, whereas they're like attacking it.
You're just defending it versus they're, you know, I think La Cuchilla, you know, they're like slicing it down. So it's very difficult for you to defend in the back.
Yeah.
Or maybe the shots, you know, they defend the shots, every single shot almost. And maybe not experienced. I know when I play a higher level player, it's like my shots aren't working. They're defending everything.
Yeah.
So now I go, plan B, what do I have to do?
Yeah, but that's not that often you play higher level players than you.
Usually, that's true. I was playing against you, that's why. I need to play against higher levels, you're right.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Like, they get that extra ball back, or the defense, they're really good off the walls. Jessica Castellos, you could just tell she's so natural on the court, and she had an amazing backhand down the line. So I would try to hit my rulo, and she would just come in and didn't let it touch the fence, and she would just knife it down the line.
So what do you do in those situations where you're like, okay, that's not working, you know, I have to kind of go back to the drawing board? I mean, what do you do mentally, because that's kind of tough sometimes?
Yeah, like, looking back, if I could repeat, I would say I should maybe like even miss a couple to making sure that it hits the fence. Because if I'm just making it cross court, she was super comfortable.
So you got to go right to the edge.
That would be one. Or sometimes bring the ball, instead of going to the fence, bring it to the middle and move her over. So hit a bandeja towards the middle to set up that other one.
Yeah.
So there could have been a little more like strategy, but at the end of the day, it was a tough match, and she's amazing, and a lot of credit to that team. So
you being a Miami home girl, did you get a lot of requests of players asking you, hey, what should we do? Where should we go? I mean, you know, Miami, this is your city. Did you get a lot of requests from players?
Yeah, I got a couple. I got a couple DMs saying, what should we do? But I think also, like, a lot of the owners, they kind of know some nice restaurants. And thank you to our team. We went on like a really nice boat, sunset boat ride. Yep. So thank you, Gabriel, Ryan, Armando, because that was so, so nice. And also for like team bonding. I think that's what's special about the Stingrays, is the team is just so together. You know, Lamperti took the time today to basically give me a private lesson for half an hour.
Maxi
Sanchez also giving me tips on my forehand volley. Lucia was basically our coach. And that's really nice that they take the time to do that.
So what's up for next week? What's exciting? Any cute, you know, tips that you can give us? Something happening, something juicy stuff's happening?
More importantly, what is it going to take for Stingray to win next week, the tournament?
Well, I think next week it's going to be exciting because there's going to be different teams in the sense that some teams are losing players and some teams are gaining players. Teams have to be strategic because I know that they pay a lot of money to these players, and I don't know if it's for the entire season, for just 1 week. They're trying to be smart about their budget.
So, Britt, now, last year you were with Knox. Are you still with Knox this year?
I'm still with Knox.
All right. Look at the prettiness.
This is my baby.
Oh, that's the ones you can do por tres, right?
Yes, the secret to all the por tres.
But let me mention something. That's perfect. It goes with your outfit. Is that on purpose?
Exactly.
The colors and everything. Is this a Lamperti racket?
This is Lamperti's racket, but ML10 Pro Cup Silver.
But his is a little bit different, right?
This is a little bit different.
Okay.
But this is the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is this customized specific for you or?
No, anybody can buy this racket.
So, technical question. At a professional level, how often do you change your racket?
So, to be honest, I don't like to change it that often.
Okay.
I like it to be very soft, and that only happens with a lot of use. So, I don't change it before 6 months, and maybe...
So, have you tried other rackets that maybe a little... softer, or do you think it'll start well and then it'll get worse?
Yeah, I feel like I've tried other rackets and I always come back to this one.
Right. Well, I hear you. Do the same thing with the racket that I play with. I try all these different, but I always go back to that racket.
Yeah, just to see what else is out there, and because I know there's paddles that are supposed to be for more power, more control. So this one is a little bit of both, and I love it.
Yeah,
and it's not too heavy, so check it out.
Well, I mean, what's next for you? After this, what's next? What's the next tournament?
So next tournament, I might be playing the USPA tournament in New York.
Great.
I might be playing that, and then looking at the calendar for FIPS, hopefully playing another premier tournament. So we'll see.
Well, Britt, thank you so much, and we wish you all the luck, and we'll stay in touch.
We are All Things Paddle.